The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What is going on, people? Welcome to the Throwdown, episode 399. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
And Brian Majoma.
So who's getting sued?
Oh, we will talk about that, you know? As you heard, in the intro I said we're at episode 399, which means 400 is coming up next week.
Crazy time.
You know, now Manny, the question is, will you be able to join us for that momentous occasion?
Well, we'll see how my travel plans are, but as far as I know, I should be able to make it. If not, I'll let you know.
Yes, but and then we're also trying to get some guests on. We actually will have somebody for episode 401, but we'll talk about that later, you know. But and giveaways, I don't know, we haven't even planned this shit, so.
Yeah, we just knew the new episode was coming, and we booked some guests, and that's about it. So we'll see what's going on.
Yeah, there's no games to give out.
You got lots of stuff in that warehouse you call a room.
Yeah, I do. Right.
You know, just dig in the bin and find one of those things. Yeah. Be like, yo,
you're
giving away
controller. You know.
Yeah. Right.
It's crazy. Yo, who wants a Steam Deck? Nah, ain't nobody getting that shit.
Oh, shit, I got a copy of Resident. I have an unopened copy of Resident Evil 3. Anybody want that?
Yeah, Resident Evil 3. I got a bunch of stuff. You know.
You know what? I've been trying to give away this Warthog from Forza Horizon 2.
Oh, man. What's going on, people in the chat? Fergus Mills, the savior of Throwdown. You're ready.
Yo, man. Shout out to Fergus Mills, man.
Who else we got here? Mob Hits, always with the rumors. Jay Shep in the house, chilling, you know. Barry Byrne over here holding it down.
And, what's up, Barry?
Yeah, man. You already know, man. Barry, man, it's happening. No Comic-Con for me and Manny this year, you know.
Oh.
Like, they didn't invite him, and, you know, I don't have anything to cover anymore.
They didn't accept me for a table, so.
They accepted you at C2E2, though.
C2E2, what about them? How about them apples, huh?
Yeah, right.
Well, also, I'm waiting to find out about Anime NYC. If I'm not in Anime NYC, I will not be. It will be official. New York has essentially rejected me.
Yes. It's fucked up, man.
How about them apples, man?
How about them big apples?
How about them big apples, man?
Crazy. Anyway, we actually have some stuff to talk about. Stuff happened in the industry.
Stuff happened?
Now, the actual biggest thing that happened this week was Gamescom.
You could talk about. Which is happening this weekend.
Which is still happening, but the main story tonight happened today. And Twitter was in an uproar. The PS5 is getting a price hike. Across the world, except America.
Wonder why.
And this was posted over on PlayStation blog by none other
Jim Ryan
than Jim Ryan.
Oh, what is his excuse why this is happening?
All right, so let's read this from Mr. Jim Ryan. Forgive me for not doing an accent here. The global economic environment is a challenge that many of you around the world are no doubt experiencing. We're seeing high global inflation rates as well as adverse currency trends impacting consumers and creating pressure on many industries. Based on these challenging economic conditions, Sony Interactive Entertainment has made the difficult decision to increase the recommended retail price of PS5 in select markets across Europe, Middle East, and Africa, Asia, Pacific, Latin America, as well as Canada. There will be no price increase in the United States. Interesting.
There's no. So again, what is it about the United States that somehow is able to keep the price the original price range?
Yeah. The last thing. This is short. He goes, while this price increase is a necessity given the current global economic environment and its impact on Sony's interactive entertainment business, our top priority continues to be improving PS5 supply situation so that as many players as possible can experience everything that PS5 offers and what's still to come. All right, but yeah, it's like, I think it's because they know America is their big bread and butter, so they're not trying to fuck with that. But at the same time, you know, you're kind of screwing over the rest of the world.
I mean, Canada already gets overcharged for shit already. And a lot of it doesn't make any sense because sometimes, in some cases, their dollar has been very close to the United States.
Yeah.
So
I'm looking at here, Canada now, like a regular PS5, I guess it was $600 before. Now it's $649.
Yeah, man. Number one, like, I don't know about that, Jim. I feel like the best thing you could do is essentially lower the prices and eat the cost on this shit. Because to be honest, everybody's hurting right now, and that's the perfect time to raise your costs. Come on.
Yeah, pretty insane.
Just to go over sort of the economics of this type of move, it's not too unfamiliar with other sectors. I mean, the automobile industry is the perfect example of this. You know, I was looking into maybe buying a Tesla, in 2021 or 2020, I forgot when, but, you know, as soon as the pandemic hit, as soon as all the shortages happened, all the delays, they raised up the price. There was way more demand that would meet the supply, and, you know, and everything and all the prices were going up and inflation was increasing and they raised up the price, and that happens across a lot of industries. Obviously, with the video game industry, every time we go through these types of macroeconomic changes, I feel like it's always a new thing for all of us. Because I'm pretty sure a lot of gamers, especially new ones, aren't really used to consoles just going up in price. Well, obviously Americans aren't going to get used to it because we're the spoiled kids in this whole conversation.
America has privilege.
Yeah, we have an American privilege, and but yeah, you know, this happens. I'm pretty sure the reasoning is, well, it's getting more expensive to create what we're doing. Shipping is getting more expensive. Everything is getting more expensive. So to offset costs or whatever profits we had, or I don't even know if they were making profits off of PS5s, but however, to offset all of the increases of things that we didn't predict before releasing the PlayStation 5 or even announcing the PlayStation 5, then we have to increase the price somewhere. And unfortunately, the consumer in everywhere across the world except the United States gets the bad end of the stick, and it sucks, man.
Yeah.
Real quick, I want to wish Pig Dan, joining us right now, happy belated birthday. His birthday was yesterday.
Yeah, man.
Happy birthday, man.
Birthday. And also shout out to Mighty Nerd, who's joining us. How you doing, man? Yeah, no, you're right about that. By the way, but what I found, you know, interesting, among other things, is the people chiming in the most about this on Twitter. Guess what?
Americans?
Yeah, we're Americans. Americans. Like, you're not affected by this, bro.
Well, to be fair, you know, most of the rest of the world don't speak English as their native, you know, social language, social media language. So, you know, we probably get from the UK and Australia. Australia, man, Australia always gets messed up, you know, with these video game stuff.
Yo, don't forget about New Zealand, you know.
And New Zealand, man. Shout out to Blitz.
Where's he? You know, I was just talking to this dude an hour ago. He was giving me shit about Saints Row not working for PC. He's like, oh, typical PC problems. Like, shut up.
Shout out to Tomeka, man.
You know?
But yeah, it's like, I mean, you know, we're not going to get the feedback from the Japanese or the South Koreans or the South Americans if we're only seeing the English side of it. So
the Japanese in general won't probably say anything. They'll just say this is undesirable and go about their business.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of the prices here. Europe is $549, whatever fuck that shit is.
Euros?
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Brian, you gotta help me out here because you know this stuff. Okay, so the E-looking thing, I guess that's Euro, makes sense. What about that L-looking thing for UK?
That's pounds.
That's pounds.
Pounds, gotcha. So 549 euros in Europe, you know, for the regular edition, and 479 pounds. So, Brian, was it 400 before or 420?
I thought it was 450 before.
Because remember, some prices only went up by like $30 or something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
that makes you got to take into account that the pound costs more than the dollar.
Boy,
or it has more value than the dollar. So
Carlos, you can tell me about this. The euro has parity with the dollar now.
It's close. I think the euro gained a little bit more traction back, and it's worth more than a dollar now.
Yeah,
I mean, I could check that right now, but
because I remember, a few years ago. She's like, I only want to get paid in euros, you know. Anyway,
we are at an equilibrium.
Oh shit! Dun, dun, dun. I think it was just Giselle Bundchen. She's like, I don't want dollars. I want euros. It's more valuable. Like, all right, bitch. What about now?
You know? Yeah, we're dead even.
Yeah,
it's a dead heat.
60,478 yen in Japan. 4,299 yuan. Is that how you say it? The Chinese shit? Like Juan? Oh, like my boy Juan?
Like Juan? Yeah, like it's like yuan or something like that.
Yeah, yuan. Australia, $799. God damn. You know, yo, Carlos, Mexico. I see a dollar sign there.
It's a peso.
Okay, I was about to say, like $14,000? God damn.
Yeah,
$14,000 pesos, that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's like 18 pesos to a dollar. So, yeah, that's why it's that huge-ass price.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it sucks, man. But I will say this, I guess I'm speaking out of privilege here because I'm in the U.S. and I have two PS5s already. So
this motherfucker balling, you know?
So,
you got one for each room?
I got one for each room. I'm looking for one for the kitchen. I guess, you know, when there's such high demand and there's limited supply to meet that demand, inflating the price reduces that. So the people who really, really want a PS5 that are willing to pay even more than, you know, the regular Joe Schmo are able to get it. And then I guess it'll just even itself out. It sounds like I'm making a lot of excuses for PlayStation.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm not trying to do that because, I mean,
that's when Brett busts in here. He goes, fuck Jim Ryan.
Fuck Jim Ryan.
Well, that's a good fuck because that's exactly Sony's what Brett was saying.
We can't take this anymore. Fuck Sony.
This is old Sony, and I can't believe, you know, I'm not trying to do whataboutisms, but it's Sony is doing it again.
Am I the only one? Am I the only one who feels this way? Shout out to bro. We don't know where the fuck he is, man. It's another Marvel movie that came out. What's going on?
You know, what was it?
And the fathers need their Odin sleep, you know?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
it
man.
It is inevitable.
Sony is fucking up. All right. Anyway, Brian, what's your thoughts on this?
Man, it's just weird. Like, how have you ever seen this before? Because I don't remember seeing something like this where console comes out, then 2 years later the price goes up, unless I'm mistaken.
Yeah.
Probably am.
Didn't we talk about this with the Oculus? We're like, yo, what the fuck has this happened before? You know? I guess it's going to be more common now, but then again, we never had what we had, just not in modern times, you know, i.e. in the last 40 years of giant fucking pandemic that stopped everything, you know? Last time it happened was with the Spanish flu, and I'm pretty sure they didn't close as much shit down, you know?
We can't buy our PlayStations.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole thing is just odd, man. Like, yeah, I can understand what they're saying, but it just doesn't make it any better.
Yeah, I'm laughing because of what Piggy Dan just said.
Oh,
he goes, get a third job, ponies.
Oh, damn. That's a good one.
Get a third job.
Get a third job.
Yeah, that's why we have Kaz Harai as the featured image tonight, you know?
Yep,
these are featured images. You want a second job, you're going to get a third job right now for this PlayStation. Although I said that on Twitter today. I'm like, you got to get a second job. Now, obviously, you know what I'm referencing.
The joke,
it's only $30 more. It's only got to do two more hours of work, motherfucker. And I'm like, dude, it was a joke. Relax. I'm not being serious here.
That's because those idiots don't fucking remember anything.
Yeah.
They're probably itching their papa's balls at that point in time. Because it's that long ago.
Yeah, probably wasn't even born yet, you know? That's why I can't argue with some of these guys. Like, I'm not going to argue with you. You weren't even born and shit when I started gaming. Get out of here with that, you know? Giancleta Mangu. What is going on, brother?
Up? Yo, yo. Yeah. By the way, to answer Brian's question, I don't remember ever seeing this before.
No one.
The only price.
When was the last time you saw old cars still selling for what they retailed for when you first bought them? You know, mm-hmm. that doesn't happen either. You know,
yo, man, you can sell your $1,500 hoopty for even more than you bought it. Yeah,
you're basically selling for $2,000.
I told my parents, I'm like, because they have this car that they don't use. I've been telling them, you have to sell the fucking car. You're not going to get as much money as you're going to get today. And once this whole thing dies down, it's that price is going to fucking tank. But
so high, bro.
Yo, man, sell when you're in the top, man. Don't sell at the bottom.
That shit's crazy. But no, you're right. Yeah. It's like we've never seen this before. But then again, this whole thing's been unprecedented. You know.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I mean, it's I don't know. I just don't know how to gauge the consumer at this point. Is it that significant of a price increase for those types of areas? Like for, you know, someone that lives in Japan, someone that lives in the UK. I don't know.
It sort of depends, to be fair, because if you look at it from the point of view of just the price of the console, then it's not that significant. I mean, it's basically you're paying for the console plus half a game on top, if you want to make some sort of like equivalence type idea. But then when you put it in the context of just everything in general, where again, there's inflation, prices of everything going up. So in that context, then yeah, like looking at expending that much money for a console now is just kind of like, do they really want to? Like, I think some people might have second thoughts now, because then it's like, oh, like with everything else going up, do I really need to buy a console that's also gone up in price? You know? Mm-hmm. So there'll be those people that probably won't, but yeah, I just find it really weird that they do this. It's just like, come on. It's like, it's been out for 2 years and now it goes up. It's like,
that's true.
What's going on behind the scenes?
You know? Yeah, exactly. You can barely find the shit, and now it's even more expensive than it was before. Come on, guys. Seriously.
Which actually raises a good question that I'm going to ask now, because I'm not going to wait until this question show. Mm-hmm. Manny, how does this... No, it doesn't affect you because you're the U.S. It's okay. Yes. It doesn't matter.
I mean, I'm still not going to buy it. I'm still not going to buy it regardless, because at this point in time, I just don't see anything that's really attracting me to it. I mean, so far, everything that I want to play is on the PlayStation 4. And, you know, so...
It's more like it's nowhere at this point. You
know? Yeah. I'll just consider it not a non-existent console, you know.
Yeah.
Though, I can't really justify anything. If I don't have anything really to pay for, and I'm just going to be playing the same old bullshit 4 games, then what? Who gives a shit?
I just had this thought now. So, how does this affect the idea of a PS5 Pro?
This is why I think you're not going to get a PS5 Pro this generation. Think about it. You could say, oh, no, Tony, they're going to do it. This whole generation has been unprecedented. Don't be surprised. I was convinced that we're going to do a PS5 Pro, but after this shit, I don't know, man.
I also find it...
You can't even buy the regular PS5.
I also find it funny that the more powerful console is also the more cheaper. Sounds very familiar. Sounds like a previous generation familiar.
Yeah. Well, it depends, because aren't, like... Xbox is more powerful when it comes to, like, graphics, but then PlayStation's faster, right? Isn't that the way it is? Like, Xbox...
Supposedly. Yeah, but it's... Yeah.
But again, it doesn't matter. They don't have games. It doesn't fucking matter, you know?
And the differences are minuscule.
Yeah, negligible,
Well, I mean, for the most part, Xbox can run games in full 4K than a PlayStation 5 can, if you're looking for that sort of experience. Most of their multi-platform games are all running in full 4K. So, what Sony got in there? They got an emotion engine in that shit.
They got that SSD, baby. You know. but yeah, that's it. Again, beating a dead horse here. This generation's whack.
Yeah,
and then you have this. Oh, go ahead, Carlos.
and this is just insult to injury to all of it, because we launched this console during a pandemic where every game under the sun is getting delayed, and we're seeing shortages where people can't buy these consoles, even though they're selling out everywhere, and now they're just raising the freaking price, which is just the biggest fucking irony I've ever seen one.
Shit is crazy, man. All right, let's move on here. Brian brought this up before, so let's talk about it. It's not about showing us how I did. Sony's being sued for £5 billion over PlayStation Store prices.
Uh-oh, what are they doing?
Uh-oh. As reported by Sky News, consumer rights advocate Alex Neal, with two L's because, you know, he's balling like that, the ex-managing director of nonprofit consumer advice organization in the UK, is leading the legal action and said the game is up for Sony PlayStation. I like this guy already. With this legal action, I am standing up for the millions of UK people who have been unwittingly overcharged. We believe Sony has abused its position and ripped off its customers. Gaming is now the biggest entertainment industry in the UK, ahead of TV, video, and music, and many vulnerable people are relying on games for community connection. The actions of Sony is costing millions of people who can't afford it, particularly when we're in the midst of a cost of living crisis and consumer purses beast like never before. The crux of the lawsuit is that the primary and dominant seller of digital PlayStation products, Sony, is in a position to overcharge for its items. The legal actions claim it's doing exactly that, forcing consumers to overspend unfairly, and as a result, it's a breach of competition law. Okay, interesting. Now, when it comes to these type of stories, my initial gut reaction is just, you know, a bored lawyer who wants to try to get money. He's probably going to lose, you know, but...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What do you think? What do you guys think about this?
It sounds like someone is trying to make money. Saying,
oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like it just says, oh, the PlayStation Store price is too high. Sue these motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm. When you say that a video game console is essential to everyday life, that's when I'm going to see, like, really? Mm-hmm. I understand if you're talking about internet, water, like those are utilities.
Electricity.
Electricity. Yeah, those are utilities that make you allow you to work, a lot of people to work, to live, you know, to breathe. A fucking PlayStation and PlayStation Network, like, that's where I'm like, all right, bro.
It seems like a lot of gas, to be honest.
You could even argue a phone is a necessity, right? You could argue mm-hmm. that. Not a fucking mm-hmm. console, you know?
Yeah.
Get out of here with yep. that. Oh, by the way, Rich a lot, man.
Oh.
He goes, when is that new PS5 exclusive? I can't even say.
Oh.
When is that new PS5 exclusive? The inflation of us dropping.
That's really good.
Oh, man. Yo, Rich, would you call it Lamescom that happened this week?
Oh.
We'll talk about that, you know?
Oh.
But yeah, no, this sounds like just a bored fucking lawyer, you know?
He's like, man, I need to get onto something.
And I say this having some lawyer friends. Manny and I have lawyer friends. Mm-hmm. Where's some of the biggest scumbags on earth, man? Fucking mm-hmm. shysters like this, you know? This is like the equivalent of an ambulance chaser, you know? So yeah, this shit.
I've never heard that.
You never heard of an ambulance chaser?
An ambulance chaser?
No.
Well, and I'm pretty sure you know exactly what that means, though, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense now.
Yeah. Puffin Cloud, first time in the chat. Welcome. Yo, welcome. Yo. I'm gonna say they, because I don't know if you're a he. I'm assuming you're probably a he though. They say there's a reason Sony didn't raise the price in the US is because Xbox is selling more than PS than the last year. Something to consider. Xbox
something to consider. Either that or Americans are a bunch of entitled assholes who essentially their complaining will affect their bottom line.
Well, think about it.
That's
people complaining online right now. It's not the people that actually affect. Some people are. Don't let me wrong, but most of them are Americans. Although a lot of them are like the Xbox guys. Look at you, motherfuckers! You paying more for PlayStation than the PlayStation guys. Hey, we're paying more for a premium console. I'm not making this up.
Yeah,
premium console.
It sounds like they're you know, they don't remember the Kaz Harai thing, but it seems like they're just, you know, like, you know, divining some of the stuff that he said like over 10 or 20 years ago.
Yeah.
To reveal the PlayStation 3.
Oh, shit. 3 years from now, it's going to be 20 years ago.
Yeah, man.
Wow.
Yo, man, ain't that about a bitch, man?
Yo, man, crazy. I'm playing a 20. I'm playing
that shit on TV on G4, man. Wow.
I'm remember playing a 20.
G4?
Oh, yeah. Remember G4?
Oh, man. Puff and Cloud. Oh, yeah, this year's a wash for me. They only have Game Pass to sell consoles, but that's been enough for a lot of people. It seems. Yeah, especially with Kid Smooth. Did you see his music video?
Oh,
you mean the one that he stole from Hip Hop Gamer?
No, that's another guy. That's another guy.
Okay.
Yeah, no, he did his own song. You know.
Okay. I'm gonna say he ripped off Hip Hop Gamer too.
Yeah.
he did. Nah, it's all good.
Go ahead, Brian.
The worst thing about that song is just the auto-tune. It just grates your ears.
Yeah, kids really love you with the auto-tune. Somebody was like, "Yo, are you singing this shit underwater?"
SpongeBob.
Why does everything have to have auto-tuning now?
Yeah, it's like useless auto-tune. It's like, yo, you can't even hold a tune when you're just talking.
Yeah.
You're talking a song. Like, you know, you use the auto tune to try to hit a note, but you ain't trying to hit a note if you're just rapping.
I can just imagine.
Go ahead. Oh, no, this is kind of off topic. Yeah. So I'll let.
Well, I mean, we're already off topic talking about fucking auto tune. Oh. But again, I just imagine, you know, like the producer, like a producer in the studio, you know, he's like looking over the soundboard, you know what this needs? Auto tune. Turn that shit on.
Yeah, let's go. He's like hitting the little slider.
Yeah, he's hearing the song. He's like, I'm missing.
Did you?
Oh, shit. Let's go. $1 million.
That shit's hot. I mean, it makes me think of those. You remember Crank Lucas?
Yes, that's right.
He's like doing every era of rap.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, I'm so high. I'm by Jesus, and he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah, that was good. Like, was it like the 80s? It was about you got to get drugs off the streets.
Yeah,
in the 90s, it was about like, oh man, you know, it's like I gotta sell this shit, but I don't want to destroy my people.
I'm selling this shit. I'm destroying my people.
Yeah. And then in the 2000s, it was like, man, I'm making money off this shit. I'm balling right now. Now these people just want to talk to me. And then in the 2000s, it's about how great it is to get high. So we had this whole evolution. Shout out to Crank Lucas, man.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys see the contingency of people that thought that Microsoft was going to lower down the price of the Xbox?
I saw that. Stupid.
I'm like, they're fucking making bank.
Yeah, why would they
lower it? And they have Microsoft has the exact same issues that Sony is when it comes to the increased price to produce these consoles, the increased price of shipping these consoles, everything. Mm-hmm. They're going through the exact same thing Sony is. So the hell not. They're not lowering down the price.
No, but I did see
that. No, they're not going
to
do it.
Lower the price. Like, hold on. If you want Xbox to win, you want them to keep the price as is, man.
Yeah, man.
Some people are stupid.
Yeah, man.
I swear, the console wars rot brains, man. They really do.
Xbox consoles are selling right now. They're selling really well, and it's by staying the status quo, they're still going to be a lower price than Sony in most of the world. So that's a win there.
That's right.
Yep.
Yo, remember that old commercial? Like, this is your brain. This is your brain on drugs. They got to have that before console war. Same commercial, no brain. Difference. Just this is your brain. This is your brain on console wars. Any questions? You know,
and then somebody pops up. Yeah, I have questions. Why are you targeting me, man?
Yeah, like, you triggered me.
Are you fake neutral?
Yeah, you fake neutral.
You fake neutral.
And then you know you also have another one, like you know, like. A dad is like watching his son playing like some game and his son's just going crazy. Fuck PlayStation. PlayStation sucks. And then he comes in. Where'd you learn to talk like that? From you, dad. I learned it from watching you.
Oh yeah. That sounds like a certain father that we banned.
Oh, Manny, what you talking about?
What you talking about there?
You a pony. You know, and then the commercial comes back to seeing the father talking shit. Man, fuck Xbox, man. PlayStation for life, you know, when he during the PS2 era and the little kids watching this shit, you know?
Mm-mm.
Oh, man.
or the other drug video with that dude Snake, and he's walking past the he's like, "Yeah, man, my name's Snake." Yeah. He starts walking past the pole and he turns into a viper.
Yeah. Except this one, he turns into a pony. Oh man, the ponies. All right, let's move on here. All right, Gamescom. Let's do some Gamescom. You know, this segment's going to take a little while.
Oh, whoa. First things first, Jeff Keighley in the middle of a crowd. What the fuck? My mind is blown. And they're not CG and they're not fake like they were in the PlayStation.
Yeah, conference. No, he's back, man. You pony. All right, so let's go over some of the stuff that was shown at Gamescom. So I'm getting this list off of Game Rant. So if anything's missing, blame them. Don't blame me. All right?
All right.
And some of these trailers I'm going.
Okay.
First game here is called Everywhere. The first Gamescom world premiere came in strong with an ambitious title called Everywhere. After a vague trailer, the games director hinted that the game may be like a Dreams-esque BT-inspired experience that mixes a variety of different genres. What the fuck? Does this game ring a bell to anyone? Let me look at this.
I mean, wait, Carlos, can you run the trailers? Oh, no, he's Negan right now.
He's Negan right now.
he's Negan and right
I'm
now.
And I'm multitasking, too.
Uh-oh. Oh, okay. All good.
Checking on them stocks. All right, I don't know what the hell this game's about. It seems like it's a creation type of game. Like Dreams. Okay, cool.
Oh, I mean, I do a search on Everywhere, and I get everything everywhere all the time. Yeah, Michelle Yeoh movie.
It's called Everywhere Game.
Everywhere the Game.
Yeah, Everywhere Game. That the official title's Everywhere Game. Okay, I mean, I'm looking at the intro. Looks like some kind of desert.
Like desert?
Yeah, desert. There's some Hot Wheels. There's a forest. Mordor shit going on right now.
I mean, it doesn't, but it looks like more hyper-realistic than Dreams.
Oi, Dreams it is. Interesting. All right, so there's that. By the way, if you guys in the chat want us to talk about any games, let us know. Or if you know
wait
any
certain games. Wait a minute. Is it? Are you sure? It looks like it's not like a Little Big Planet game. It looks like it's just like a driving game.
There was another place where you see people like in a hub. Looks like PlayStation Home.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, but all
again, I'm just reading what Game Rant wrote here. Apparently, we don't really know what kind of game this is.
I don't know. It looks like some sort of funky racing game where you could just literally ride every vehicle
everywhere.
Mm. Yeah, and the E is backwards. Everywhere, and then it's the E at the end is backwards, and it says the game.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess we'll see. Next up, Dune Awakening. So I was like, oh, a Dune game? Then I found it's a survival MMO game. I'm like, I'm good.
There was an RTS game second I thought it was going to be that RTS game that they announced a while ago.
Yeah, a survival MMO that I clocked out.
People hit
me up with, Tony, yo, they got a Dune game. You're going to get it. I'm like, it's an MMO. No. I'm not playing that shit.
You know? I mean, yeah.
That's the thing. It's like, do people buy games just because of a brand?
I think that people, yes. I think people are like that silly, like now, like a lot, like they just hear the name of something and automatically think that people will be interested in it. No, you are selling it to a specific type of person that, you know, just because it has the Dune name on it doesn't mean a bunch of Dune fans are going to fucking jump on it.
Yeah. Oh, the Dune is going, I got to get it.
Oh, it says Dune on it. I got to. No.
Yeah. No,
I mean, that's a.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why, you know, they make different types of games for IPs like Star Wars. You know, there's mm-hmm. Star Wars games like The Old Republic, and then there's Knights of the Old Republic, which are two different types of games. But, you know, it's kind of catered to different audiences. But there's people that, you know, it's like, give me Star Wars. And that's all they that's what they want. But, yeah, I'm not surprised. Surprised at all.
Yeah, my pits, we'll get to it. But the thing is, the game. Like the genre matters, doesn't it? You know what I'm saying? I like Star Wars, but I'm not going to buy a fucking Star Wars MMO. Why do you think I skipped the Old Republic? Like, fuck that. I'm not playing an MMO. But Jedi Fallen Order, I'll play that action adventure game. Let's go. You know?
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, yeah. You're not only just because it has a name on it, that means you're, you know, the type of game that you choose is also what will audience it will attract.
Yeah, exactly.
So, if you're putting out an RTS Dune game, you're going to be going after the people that are into RTS and then possibly people who have an interest in that sort of thing. Yeah. That's about it.
Let me look at the trailer.
But I mean, go ahead. People weren't into a UPS simulator until Kojima made it.
Yeah, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't. I think he's the only one who has made a UPS simulator.
He's the only one, yeah. I don't know. All right. Move on here. Callisto Protocol, man. Let's go.
Man, my game.
Give me this shit, please. Please don't.
I mean, and it seems to be running in order, and they had the dude on the stage too talking about it.
That's good. Pretty confident. Yeah. Crossing my fingers.
It looks like Dead Space. That's all I want.
And then there's a Dead Space game coming.
Yeah. Look at that shit. I actually didn't see this trailer. It's pretty dope.
And when the part where he's going in the water.
I'm watching this part right now where he's like, looks like he's in stasis and then he's in the environment to chop him up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's some Dead Space shit. He chopped, you know, he blew his head off and this motherfucker still comes. Get them limbs, son. Get them limbs.
Speaking of Dead Space, guess what I've been playing on my Steam Deck?
The first
Dead Space 1.
Yeah, it looks good and runs good.
I say runs at 60 frames.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on Steam Deck.
Butter. Carlos, I'm watching the like sewer tunnel shit right now.
Mm-hmm. Wait till you get to the end of that part. I'm like,
I was just about to say the same thing. Just wait until the end.
I'm already sold on this fucking game. You already know this shit.
I'm on TV.
I'm sorry for the people listening. It's boring right now, but I'm not just watching this trailer. You know, this is a long section right here.
Ah, man. And, you know, I will say this, and Tony's going to interrupt me when he sees that part, but I don't care. But, you know, Callisto Protocol is just one of those games, man, that one of those rare games that gets us all excited. And
I know we have, up.
Well, there you go. I knew it.
Damn. That's crazy. Yeah, give me this fucking game.
But, yeah, it's, you know, it's one of those games that I think has the collective Throwdown crew, at least at the very least, curious, and some of us pretty excited. And man, I just hope it delivers, man, because we need it.
Yeah, we really do. We need a win, man. All right, moving on. Now, this was surprising to me. Lords of the Fallen, not Lords of the Fallen, the game that came out like 10 years ago or something. Lords of the Fallen. Where's Chris? Because I know he bashed the fuck out of that game. But I guess because Dark Souls games are still popular, they're like, hey, let's give it another shot. And I did a little bit of reading on this. I was confused, like, Lords of the Fallen 2022? What's going on here? You know, so apparently this was going to be Lords of the Fallen 2, but then they just renamed it to The Lords of the Fallen. Just like The Predator. I don't know. Fuck. Saw the trailer. Trailer's cool. CG trailer. Looked interesting. Is anybody interested in
it? No. First one was kind of mid, so first one was just kind of mid, so I honestly don't expect much from this. Yeah. Could be good.
Manny, you're muted, by the way.
Oh, that's okay. I didn't say anything that important anyway.
He was just listening.
Oh no, I saw him moving his mouse, and I didn't. So I thought he was wanting to say something. My bad. CG. You mentioned it. CG trailer. It's hard, man. It's hard to get excited for that kind of stuff.
Nope.
I'll just reserve judgment until, you know, we get some gameplay and stuff like that. Leave it at that. We'll talk about that.
All right. Next game here. Moving Out 2. I didn't even know there was a Moving Out. Nintendo Switch game. It looks like a sequel to one of the most chaotic co-op games in recent years. Moving Out 2. Upping the ante and providing even I already got bored reading it.
So do they play the Moving Out by Billy Joel?
Maybe. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun. I'm moving out.
No. I'm watching it. What the hell?
No.
I legit don't know what I'm looking at.
What is this,
Robin?
It's
like a little house simulating game.
It looks a little bit Sims-ish.
Yeah. It just seems like you just move out stuff. So it's one of those co-op games that seems to be like a good time. Like, not Cooking Mama. I think it's Overcooked.
Yeah, so it says here, Phantom of Overcooked.
There we go.
All right. Well,
there
you go.
So it just, it's a good time. You know, it's one of those games that you can play with your partner if they don't play games that much, and then just have a good time because just fun stuff just happens.
Brian, did you play the first one?
No, I played Overcooked with my girlfriend, and we just laughed as she kept on throwing the lettuce inside the trash when making the burgers.
Cool.
Yeah, I heard good things about that game.
She doesn't like lettuce.
No, she just couldn't get used to the controls, you know. And they say that women can cook. See, now the question is that joke sexist? Because technically, I'm not saying that they should cook. I'm saying that people say that they can cook. See? Yeah.
Well, it's 2022, mm-hmm. so I'm going to just assume that it is sexist.
But it's not, though, because I'm saying that they can cook, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that she can cook.
Why are you assuming she could cook? Just because she's a woman?
Brian is saying can't, but oh, he's not enunciating.
Why are you saying that she can't because she's a woman?
Hmm? No, she kept on throwing lettuce in the bin. So,
what are you trying to say, Brian? What are you trying to say about women? Huh? You're saying they're less capable than men? Let me stop.
Yeah, man. I don't know where you want to take this to.
Yeah, no. But my point is, like, anything Brian says, I could throw back at him because that's how 2022 works. You can't mm-hmm. work. Go ahead, Brian. But I'm glad you had a good time.
Again, just looks like fun time. Nothing much. Cool thing is that it's local co-op, so that's always fun. Oh, and again, makes sense since it's Switch game, two Joy-Cons.
Yeah. All right. Next up here, we have Hogwarts Legacy.
Again, a very nice looking game.
Yeah, a game that has no right to look this good. Why does it look that good? Does it make any sense? I mean,
Warner Brothers put some serious money in it. That's why it looks that good.
Yeah, that's Harry looks Potter, like they, I guess no surprise there.
Yeah,
looks we'll like see. They took money from somewhere and put it here. Yeah. You know?
That Gotham game, you know? Actually, they took money from other places too. Warner Brothers, man, you heard their stock fell like $20 billion or something.
They're tightening the belt right now. They're closing a lot of different things going on there. So,
get that flash.
Oh, are they going broke? Going on.
They got a lot of stuff that they're closing down on. So,
are they going broke, Manny?
I don't know if they're going broke, but
okay.
I get the
because they still because they still pay good.
Hey. Hogwarts Legacy. Yeah. Right? Was this shit coming out this year or is it delayed?
February next year.
We said February is going to be stacked this year.
We've been pushing. What is it saying? Oh God damn it!
Kicking the can.
We've been kicking the can for so long. It's just
getting down the road. Yeah.
Do you want to play Hogwarts Legacy? Do you?
Boy,
the worst accent ever.
All right, cool. There you go. New Tales from the Borderlands. What is this?
Tales from the Borderlands.
Oh, our boy Randy Pitchford took the stage to announce Tales of the Borderlands.
Okay. They should boo him off the stage. He's a horrible person. Ah.
So this is
stealing everybody's money. What happened to all that?
This is a Telltale game. Yes, it is. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, it's a sequel to the original Tales from the Borderlands, which was. People said that it was quite good. Never played it. I have it, but just never played it.
I have no real interest in the Borderlands franchise. Yeah, so
I never played them either. Right. Like, I never played those games, so why would I play this, you know?
Telltale's still out there.
Yep. All right, cool. New Borderlands.
Adam's the one that would probably be interested if anyone is.
I don't know. I mean, he never said that much about the Borderlands games, but
I did. You know, I was excited for the Tiny Tina Adventures. And
Tells about that, the shooter game, but, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, PlayStation has an exclusive mission in Hogwarts. Very interesting.
Where do you go? Do you go to Spider-Man Land or, you know? You can't do that. That's Marvel.
The character does look a lot like Peter Parker, I will say.
Yeah.
The dude character.
Does he look like the original Peter Parker or the...
Oh, no. He looks like the Peter Parker from Spider-Man PlayStation 4 after the refresh of the face.
Oh, okay. So he looks like that one. Looks like Tom Holland-ish.
Yeah, Tom Holland-ish. Yeah.
All right. What do we have next here? Dying Light 2 Bloody Ties is a DLC. Cool.
Okay. Yeah.
How did that game do?
I don't know. I'm speaking for myself personally because I really liked the first one. And I was hyped for this one, but I just lost interest. It took 50 years to come out, you know?
I mean, you guys did play that demo and you're like, and then it just sort of fell off.
2017 or something, you know, during E3, comes out October 13th. So there you go.
I know, you know, Dying Light was, came out for the Switch as a cloud game. So I was always surprised, whatever happened to that, but yeah, got DLC.
Yeah, Dying Light was good, but, all right, moving on here. Sonic Frontier.
Where's Riku?
Uh-oh.
I mean, hype right now.
Is he hyped right now with those comparison videos?
He told me, I messaged him on Twitter, and he's like, even though I'm hyped for this game, it is coming in like the same week as God of War. It's got some competition. Yeah.
So, what about those videos, man? Well, or essentially they're rehashing episodes, rehashing game design. What's that all about?
All these games are the same. All these 3D Sonic games are the same. That's what this.
No, but I mean, it's the, to that video is to the point they literally had them side by side and it had the same obstacles, the same turns. The only difference was the art was just changed around it.
Yeah.
Is that what they're doing? Like they just to fill out the game, they're essentially sort of doing a greatest hits of levels that, you know, that people might have enjoyed from previous ones.
I need to talk to Riku. You know, we'll probably get him on episode 1. I don't understand what the appeal is. Like, is it only if you grew up with these 3D games? Is that the appeal?
Yeah, people who love and swear by Sonic Adventure are super hyped about this game. Yeah, Riku is a big fan of Sonic Adventure, so yeah, I'm not surprised. And you know, we're kind of the old guard where it's like, yeah, it's really 2D Sonic unless it doesn't really make a point. That's why when I saw this trailer, there was a 2D level, and I'm like, excuse me,
get your attention for a second.
Well, I mean, it seems like ever since the, you know, the Sonic Unleashed game and all that stuff, they seem to do, and or Sonic Generations, they seem to do those sort of hybrid levels.
Yeah. Riku was telling me about how like you could customize the controls and like to make Sonic control how you want. I'm like, that the game's still gonna be the same.
Why? Man, there's a good segue here, but
I mean, when they go into those fast areas, it's almost like he's just a missile. Like, you know, you just can only move him left and right to move him out of the way of obstacles.
Why is he like fist fighting? That doesn't make any sense.
Is he fist fighting?
Yeah, he's like doing kicks and punches and shit.
Oh, they wanted to put a little more combat. I mean, it's not, that's what the Sonic Unleashed shit was, where he was punching, you know, he had mandatory punching episodes.
Forge a new frontier. I guess you could, I don't know, terrible. Terrible.
I've seen fan games that look more interesting than this game.
All right. Under the Waves. What the fuck is
that? Oh, is that the one with the rowboat?
A new game published by Quantic Dream.
That's Quantic Dream game, yeah.
It says, Under the Waves is yet another narrative-driven adventure revolving around an underwater deep diver set against the backdrop of a 1970s techno-futuristic environment. As players explore the wrecks and caves underneath the ocean, they'll learn more about the main character's grief. Interesting.
Yeah. It's an underwater game, and it looked pretty interesting when I saw it.
It's also
by Quantic Dream, it's just published by them.
Oh, okay, yeah, because I was gonna say they don't look like hyper realistic like a usual Quantic Dream game.
Yeah, they said the publisher in the beginning. This looks like a more realistic Subnautica or something. I'm already seeing whales. No, I'm good. Get the fuck out of me, you know.
It looks like there's a ghost child here, and it looks like a town underwater.
Yeah. It looks good, though.
It's interesting.
Yeah. Yo, man, it's like the Abyss.
Yeah.
Man,
except no aliens.
Motherfuckers remembers that shit, you know? Yeah, it looks good. Looks good. All right. Goat Simulator 3.
Simulator?
Yeah, that's what I'm calling it. Stimulator. Yeah, Goat Simulator 3. I love how they just skipped 2.
Nope, they did that on purpose.
Yep. Very interesting. Because I was tripping at first. I was like, wait,
two come no, up. That's the joke.
That's the joke.
That's the joke.
All right. Yeah, go ahead.
It is what it is. Yeah. There really isn't no more to explain.
Yeah, that's
go somewhere.
All right. Next, we have Return to Monkey Island.
The sequel. The original. So the other two Monkey Island games, right?
Yeah.
They were not. Was it? There's the Secret of Monkey Island, and then there was one after, and I think the third one is not directed by the same creator, Ron Gilbert. So the idea was that he's essentially doing a real Monkey Island 3,
interesting,
as opposed to the ones that were developed later on.
Yeah.
So
yeah, because it says Ron Gilbert's right here.
Yeah. That's so cool. I mean, I gotta give
graphics though.
Yeah, sort of like a blocky stylized look to it. I mean. One interesting thing about that Ron Gilbert guy is he seems to be keeping it down. Like he kickstarted, you know, and sort of rebuilt his company with this point and click adventure called Thimbleweed Park or something, not a while ago. So
yeah,
it's nice to see him sort of get back in and sort of make those type of games, because you know, you don't see those games very much anymore.
Yeah, make your bread and butter. That's good.
Yep. So hopefully, I mean, I'm sure it'll be a fun game. He usually makes pretty fun games. So
cool.
All right. Stuff.
Yeah. All right. Next up, we have Moonbreaker. What the fuck is this?
That sounds like a Japanese game.
Oh, Tony, oh, no, Tony, you know which
boy,
one
this is from my boy Brandon Sanderson.
Yes.
Interesting. Turn-based tactics game. Brandon, what are you doing, bro? This is Epic Games too, right? Because he's very buddy-buddy with them.
I don't know who's making this one.
Let me read this shit. Set in an original universe created by Brandon Sanderson, Moonbreaker looks to a turn-based tactics game that uses detailed tabletop. Oh, God. Minis as character models. In a unique move, these models can be painted in-game. What? like a real tabletop game, I guess.
Yeah, it's like a 3D tabletop game. It's like if you think about it,
what is this?
Remember that Vita game, the Eye of Truth or whatever it was called or something?
That sounds familiar.
So, seems like that sort of idea where it's like a little it's a turn-based sort of tabletop idea, but they're like little stiff statue-looking things that move.
Yeah.
Hey, it's an interesting idea, and I'm sure it has some sort of plot.
Probably, but yeah, what? Look at it now. It's just stiff.
Yeah, they're just like, you know, they're just stiff models.
They're not even
they
animated.
Have all kinds of, yeah, they're, but yeah, they are animated. Like, you'll see them fall over and stuff. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
But it's not something I would actually be into.
Yeah, Brandon Sanderson. See, there's another thing. We're talking about, like, you just buying the brands. Love me some Brandon Sanderson. Probably my favorite author right now. Not interested. I'm good. All right. Next up, we have Friends versus Friend.
What Friends versus Friends.
This shit? One of the most stylish trailers from Gamescom opening night live, Friends vs. Friends introduced its vibrant, over-the-top world. It seems like Friends vs. Friends will be a first-person shooter intended to be a party game.
This is that sort of anime. Like, it has an animated trailer. Like, I don't think they barely show any sort of video gameplay.
Yeah, it says the real hook is that Friends vs. Friends gives players a deck of cards, each of which determines a player's abilities, much like recent release Neon White. A card game, I guess?
Yeah, I think the most impressive thing out of this Friends versus Friend trailer animation is the actual animation.
Yeah, animation is real nice.
Can you just watch the show? I don't need. Oh, wait, no, they show the gameplay. It's a first person shooter type of game.
Come on,
that's a week. Like the game, the trailer looks cool. How come the game doesn't look like that?
Yeah, you're right. It just looks like some generic, well, not generic. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like generic. FPS mechanics.
Yeah. Ah, boo. They fail.
Epic fail.
Epic fail.
Epic fail.
Yeah, it looks like Borderlands or something.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah,
epic fail. Epic
I think I know where all the money went for that game. Was that animating that trailer? Animating that trailer.
Oh, here we go.
Oh.
Lies of P.
Lies of P?
Yeah. This is, as I saw the trailer. Like, this is fucking dope. Some Dark Souls stuff going on here, some Bloodborne stuff. Come to find out it's a Pinocchio game. So then I watched the trailer again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, this makes sense now. They got fucking Jiminy Cricket. There's Geppetto. Like, oh, that's kind of interesting. And it's also interesting because there's an actual Pinocchio movie coming out this year. You know?
There's two.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's two. Yeah.
There's the stop motion one by Guillermo del Toro. The Tom Hanks one.
Yeah. So this is dope. Give me this game.
I mean, you know, first, when I heard you guys talking about this, because there's another Victorian game where you play like a...
Steel
like
Rises.
Was that?
Steel Rises or Steel Risen.
Yeah, that's what it was. I thought you guys were talking about that when you were talking about this.
Nope.
Because that one was also sort of, you know, Bloodborne Souls-like.
You look that up. Steel Risers, Brian?
Steel Rising or Steel Riser?
Two words or one?
Two?
Here we go, Steel Rising, one word. Let's look this up.
Yeah, it looks really cool because you play as a damn doll and doll looks fucking creepy.
This is from last month.
Yeah, we saw the trailer for
I think
this.
The game comes out September or October. I'm not too sure.
Do you remember?
Oh yeah, that's some old shit. For sure. Cool. But yeah, Lies of P, give me. Coming day one onto Game Pass, by the way.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure you're already hating on it because of that.
Hi, diddly dee.
Yeah, right. And it seems like Geppetto's the main bad guy, which is interesting. All right, cool. Next up here, we have Atlas Fallen. The fuck is this shit?
It sounds like a Wachowski's movie.
it says a fresh IP from creator of The Surge and original Lords of the Fallen developer, Deck 13. Atlas Fallen was revealed with a mostly CG trailer. Here we go. Showcasing some huge Monster Hunter-style weapons, two characters are working together to fight a series of dog creatures and a brief glimpses of gameplay that showed some third-person action RPG similar to Deck 13.
Yeah, they just show us like some CG stuff. People running. They're in a desert.
Yeah.
They're fighting beasts. Desert beasts.
Oh, there is no gameplay. It's just... Oh, here we go. At the ass end of it.
Oh, is there?
Yeah. Oh, looks cool. Yeah, it looks... For some reason, it kind of reminds me of Arcider. Oh, that was very pretty. All right.
The way that guy traversing over the desert looked kind of cool.
Yeah, that was cool. A little combat in there.
He's like sliding in there, sliding on the desert.
Cool. All right. Next up, we have Homeworld 3.
Homeworld 3,
yeah? Yeah. One of the most iconic early piece sci-fi strategy in Homeworld 2. Homeworld 3. All right.
Yeah, it's a strategy RPG. It's a strategy game.
All right.
That's fine.
Whatever.
It's in space.
Yeah.
Space.
Right. Yeah. Next up here, Genshin Impact 3.0.
Those Genshin games look very nice.
Yeah.
They got that anime style going.
But it's not gotcha shit, you know, bothers me.
Well, of course it looks very nice, you know, like all those guys have been working at a sweatshop this whole time, so.
You know?
Yeah. If they don't look nice, then they get their feet like shoved inside a small shoe. Mm-hmm. I went there.
Yeah. All right. What do we have? Okay. High on Life. What is this?
Oh, is that the one by the Rick and Morty guys?
It says the next game from Justin Roiland Squash Games. Is Justin Roiland supposed to be somebody?
Yeah. This is the Rick and Morty studio. Yeah. All the guns in the game are all like they all talk.
Yeah. Oh, another first person shooter.
Yeah, but this one that's like that all the guns have things to say about stuff when you use them.
Oh.
So they're like living guns.
This kind of reminds me of this other game on PS4, the Outer Wilds, something along those lines. You know what I'm talking about. Or maybe you don't know what I'm talking about.
Journey to the Savage Lands?
It's something along. So is that the same studio by any chance? This is giving me those vibes hardcore right now. All right, good shit.
It seems like it's the guys that made Rick and Morty, and it's sort of a comedy shooter, I'm guessing.
Cool. All right, next up we have The Expanse by Telltale Games. So you already know what to expect there. Telltale's it's a little bit more realistic though than theirs, probably because they kind of match the TV show.
Telltale Studios, the studio that everyone thinks died, and somehow it's still here.
Still around
They're still around. Yeah, they're still doing it. So, what's the deal with this Expanse game though? Like, what are they? Is it going to be involve the characters?
What is the deal with all these expanses?
What are you doing, Expanse? Like, are you playing an actual character from the Expanse, or is it just some sort of rando character that has a plot?
Character.
All right.
It says The Expanse looks like it might be a solid, slightly experimental Telltale affair with more third-person action gameplay than previous titles. Interesting.
Do we know if it follows the books, TV shows, or is it original?
I do know it's its own thing. It's just in the universe.
So yeah, cool.
You know how that goes.
Oh, you know what's funny? This Expanse game, this was at the Game Awards, by the way.
Yeah, I remember that. That's why I was like, ooh, The Expanse, because I've read the first few books really, really good. I haven't seen the show, though. I'll watch the show when the books, and then...
Read the books! Yeah.
Okay, now this one, this came out of nowhere.
Uh-oh.
And I'm pretty sure the only guys on the throwdown at the current moment, but I could be wrong, that have watched this. Man, this was one of those movies that we saw on Channel 9, Channel 11 all the time.
Clowns from Outer Space.
I've never thought I'd see the day where they make a Killer Clowns game. What the fuck? Let me look at this trailer. Probably all see. Very 80s looking, too. I guess they're keeping that motif. So, somebody said they should make a, Attack of the Killer Tomatoes game while they're at it.
Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Okay, it's a third person. The fucking cocoons. Oh, man, it's bringing me back.
Oh, is this one of those, what are those things they call them?
Oh, like an asymmetrical game?
An asymmetric game where somebody plays the monsters and... Yeah
it says right here.
Yeah.
The executive director.
Dead by Dawn or whatever.
So yeah, the right here they're guessing it's going to be one of those asymmetrical games.
Yeah, okay. They seem to be doing stuff with that.
That kind of turn. Yeah, it's hey. Listen, I'm happy Killer Clowns are back. How about that? You know, interesting. Those candy, what is it? Cotton candy cocoons fucked me up when I was a kid, man. But they actually keeping those things. All right, I'm moving on here. Scars Above. This theme sounds familiar.
Scars Above. Let's see.
Third-person sci-fi shooter Scars Above received a very brief reveal trailer at the event. Reveal? I could have sworn I heard it about it. It seems to be taking a lot of inspiration from Returnal. Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
That could be a problem.
Is it just me, or are there starting to be like a lot of games about women in space?
I've noticed that, too. Very interesting.
You know, like Returnal, Alien Isolation, this, does it deliver us Mars? You know, just like, I don't know what the game industry is trying to say, but like, can we not ship women?
Protagonist, Brian.
Yeah. Can we not, well, like, glorify sending women from, like, to other planets? Like, I kind of like women.
Yeah, I
kind of
like our women. Keep them here, you know?
Well, Alien Isolation was pretty damn good.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, yeah, kind of the grandfathered in. This looks, I remember that. Yeah, looks interesting.
Right. You're like, it's not that, you'll be like, you're like, it's not that interesting if it ends up being another Returnal like game.
Yeah, that's also true. You know, if you're popping 80s movies, let's go piggyback off Starfield. Starfield, yeah. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Okay.
Ridsong? I'm just trying to say Ridsong.
Okay.
Or Word Song. Oh, no. Word? See, these fucking assholes wrote it wrong.
What?
It's Word Song, but with a Y. Let's look at this. What is this?
Is this Robin?
The game is set in an alternate medieval history and will apparently be open world fantasy RPG. Okay.
What's that? I'm not seeing that one in here.
It's in there.
Word,
but with a Y. This trailer doesn't tell me anything. Word Song. Yeah, the trailer didn't tell me shit.
Okay, it's a new game. World premiere.
It just says, from industry veterans, I brought you Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas, Elder Scrolls Skyrim, Dragon Age Inquisition, Fallout 3, The Outer Worlds. Okay, so
God damn,
that's heavy.
I don't hear. I mean, that's a lot of names, but those teams are huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was gonna say, like, it's like, and they're not even from the same studios. It's like,
from a bunch of people that made a bunch of games that you recognize. All right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much time we should give to these types of games, because even Jeff Keighley didn't even give them that much time.
Yeah. Like, hey, Jeff, we got a new game. All right, you got 5 seconds.
All right. Post it right now. I guess I would just like send it to like Brett and let him know that this is a thing, because like, I'm, again, just reading through like the games that they worked on. It's like, yeah, Brett liked that one. Brett liked that one. Brett liked that one. So maybe Brett will like this one too.
This game is made by a bunch of people that made games that Brett Murdoch likes.
Right. All right. Next up, we have Age of Empires 4, Ottomans versus Malians.
They added more cultures to it.
I guess. I don't know who the Malians are. I honestly don't know. I know the Ottomans. With an oddly fitting cover of Deep Purple, Smoke on the Water.
Smoke on the Water.
We're the Malians. I remember the kind of related story. I'm not a furniture guy. I don't know what, you know, I don't know the names of specific furniture. There were one time, our friend Rachel, you know, Mike's wife, you know, then girlfriend, she was like, hey, Tony, I bought this Ottoman. So I'm like, you bought a person from the Ottoman Empire? What? You know? And she had explained to me, there's a little, you know, footstool.
Furniture thing.
Yeah. But I was like, that's why I'm like, you bought a person. The Ottoman Empire.
I am from the Ottoman Empire.
Yeah.
Yes, from the past.
All right, next up, Gotham Knights. Here we go. This game seems to look worse every time they show it.
Yay. It's all the other guys from Batman.
Yeah, the villains trailer. We got, who is it? Mr. Freeze, like Harley Quinn, and Clayface.
They got a new version of... what's his face? I guess Alfred is in it. This has absolutely nothing to do with the Gotham Arkham games.
Yeah.
Does Harley Quinn looks different?
Yeah, no, they never said it had any connection to it. All right. Where Winds Meet. What is this? Where Winds Meet is a third-person open-world RPG with a lot of style revealed during Gamescom. boasting some fluid martial arts, sword based, and bow gameplay where Windmead is set in the Northern Song Dynasty ancient
China. Like a Riku game. Yeah, it sort of looks like a Musou game.
Yeah. Oh, there's some platforming going on right now though.
Yeah, this looks like it could almost be Asian Chinese Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a wushu. I don't see a million people getting killed.
No, it seems like they're like wushu, like sword fights.
Yeah, that's cool. All right, oh Manny, here you go.
Wuhan or
Hideo Kojima's podcast.
That is the stupidest thing ever. By the way,
of fucking course, Jeff Keighley does it.
I'm sure Kojima was like, "Hey, Jeff, I don't have any big announcements, but I am doing a podcast."
You know, it's like Jeff's like, hey, Hideo, you know, you can do our obligatory appearance to one of my shows. You know, what you got for me? And Kojima's like, "I got the podcast.
I've got the podcast,
Jeff Keighley."
It was a happy birthday, belated birthday to Kojima. His birthday was
59, man.
Yeah, he's almost there.
This is the return to the podcasting for Mr. Kojima, isn't it?
Well, he sort of had it a little bit while before.
Didn't you listen to it all the time?
Yeah, that was the Kojima Productions podcast, but he was never really on it.
Interesting.
It was usually done by his people. Like he had like, you know, English speaking staff. So he did his own podcast and his own shows. He had like a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And then he had the other guys doing the English one. So now the situation now is that it's supposedly fully translated. But I look at this, they're saying exclusive to Spotify. I'm like, don't care.
Yeah. You could listen to a podcast for free on Spotify.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. You know how like you could listen to podcasts on Google and shit for free? Same deal. You
know? Oh, okay.
Which is cool. I didn't know that. That's actually kind of cool.
We'll see, but I mean,
going to have a segment on the show.
Yeah, I really don't have any interest in it, to be honest, because it'll just be very I don't know what you call it. It doesn't, you know, like whenever they do these sorts of things, it's never. I don't know. It doesn't seem to interest me. Be
like the old one.
Nah, it's not going to be like the old one. Huh. It's just going to be like him talking to the people he knows.
Yeah.
You know, about, well, whatever. You know, he knows a couple of directors. They're probably going to be on there. You know, I don't think it's going to be anything about talking about the process of making games, which I have more of an interest in. I mean, you know, he has cool things he's interested in, but I don't really feel like watching that.
The name of this thing is called Brain Structure.
It is a podcast, so good thing you can listen to it.
Good thing to listen to it, but I really, it doesn't seem like it has anything that interests me, at least at this point in time.
You know what's funny? It's like, I just imagine, so let's say Kojima has Jeff Keighley on the show for a podcast. What, is he going to speak to him in English or in Japanese?
I have a sneaking suspicion that Kojima actually does know how to speak English.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure he does.
I think he does. I just think he doesn't have enough confidence in his and how he speaks. And there's a lot of Japanese people that are like that. They perfectly, totally understand what English is being said. There's points where I've seen him answer questions and, you know, start answering the question before the translator even starts. So he understood what was being said.
You know Kojima's in a Marabou, man.
Yeah, he's pretty much in a Marabou.
That happened to me one time during E3. Usually, you know, when you talk to Japanese developers, you know, it's you ask your question, develop, you know, the translator says the thing to them, and then they say something, and the translator gets back to you. That's how it usually goes. So when I was interviewing the producer of Soul Calibur, right, I asked a question. He would just start talking, and then the translator would tell me what he said. So he obviously understood what I was saying, you know?
Yes.
And you know me, I'm not asking canned questions, you know?
No.
And then I'm like, oh, that's kind of interesting. And then I would just go off whatever he say. Because I don't prepare questions like other people. I just go with it, you know?
Off the cup, yeah.
Matter of fact, something interesting about that, right? So I go to this interview thinking I'm going to talk about I'm going there to talk about Soul Calibur, right? So they set me up next to this one dude, and I start asking about Soul Calibur. They go, oh no, this is the producer of Jump Force. I'm like, okay, I'll ask him about Jump Force then. No preparation. Yeah. I'm like, okay, let's talk about Jump Force. You know?
Okay. Yeah.
That's how you do it, man. So yeah, but that was interesting.
Yo, man, why do all anime games suck?
Yeah, right. but yeah, that was cool. When the guy I would just ask my question, and the dude start talking in Japanese. You know,
mm-hmm.
He knows.
He's in the DL.
You know, because I'm asking my shit, and then he's laughing in the middle. I'm like, okay, he knows what's. But yeah, Jeff Keighley's gonna have a segment on this show, so there you go.
What is Jeff Keighley gonna talk about?
He's gonna do gaming news.
Oh God!
Wait, really? Wait, what? I was just joking. Is he really like doing that?
Yeah. No. It's right. Apparently, Jeff Keighley will have his own news segment on the show.
Oh God, this is already sounding like Jeff garbage. Keighley and
Kojima's podcast.
I mean, you know, Kojima's got his buddies, but I really don't care to see more fucking Jeff Keighley.
Well, you don't gotta see nothing.
I don't need to hear any more of that guy.
Do you want the latest exclusives?
He's not going to get any exclusives, and he's not going to ask any hard-hitting questions like he always fucking does.
Yeah. Today, we're in the room. Yeah.
Dude is a penguin, man.
The penguin?
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, man. All right, let's move on here. Park Beyond. What the fuck is this? A park simulator game? We don't care.
it's a park simulator.
Yeah, Black Tail. What the fuck is this? And you only announced first-person shooter, another one. Bow combat. What is with all these bow games?
You know, because they gotta slow down the combat.
The Legend of Baba Yaga. Okay. What's it?
Baba Yaga!
whatever. Dwarf Romantic. This game sounds familiar.
Mm.
Where did I know that name from?
Dwarf
Romantic? Sounds like a band or something from, like, the 80s.
Maybe. That's a fucking building. This show is really popping right now, isn't it? The Outlast Trials. What the fuck is this shit?
Outlast Trials?
It said it received another trailer. Okay. Well, the trailer isn't going to work here, so I'm going to skip that. Dead Island 2. Okay. Does anybody care?
Finally coming out?
Yeah, how long has this shit been in development for?
I guess I don't know.
You know? Yes, because like they had that one trailer that came out of like the guy running on the... Is it on the broadwalk or something? And then he gets attacked, and that was like the announcement. So I think it was back in like PS3 days.
David Gilton, it was going on, brother, logically dashing. Very dashing fella indeed. Yeah, you missed us talking about PS5. Christ, like I was at the top of the show, you know? And that's actually it for Gamescom.
Okay.
Kind of meh.
I mean, it was the usual things, you know, flowers, chocolates, promises you don't intend to keep.
You know?
I mean, we got more Callisto, which was good, but you know, we're getting dangerously close to the point where it's like, all right, man, that's enough Callisto until I play it.
Yeah,
you know, Life of P is looks pretty interesting, and you know, surprised a lot of us. So you know, I got more than what I thought I was gonna get. So I guess.
But man, this show was like 2 hours long.
Yeah, it was pretty long a show.
I'm sure it was filled with like half the show was filled with commercials.
Well, and they gave an award?
Yeah, they
apparently. Yeah, they gave away some
awards. And you want to watch more awards, you can watch my show, The Game Awards.
Game Awards.
See my vision, The Game Awards.
My vision.
Tied to this, you want to talk about a 2-hour show. So today, Microsoft held a 6-hour long show at Gamescom.
Whoa.
Yeah, so these are some of the games. We're not going to go through it. We just run them through. Microsoft Flight Simulator, Plague Tale Requiem, Sea of Thieves, Life of P, Gunfire Reborn, High on Fire, Planet of Lana, Grounded, Pertinent, Under the Waves, Minecraft Legends, and Age of Empires 4. So that's what we're showing at Xbox.
Xbox Expo of Xbox?
Gamescom.
Let me throw in the obligatory Brett. Oh, Grounded is coming out?
Grounded? Yeah, it's actually really coming out now, you know? But, yeah, Gamescom. Yeah, Life of P was cool, buddy. You know?
Oh, Grounded? Man. I'm totally blanking on that.
Okay, you already forgot. We did an hour-long segment. You already forgot what we talked about.
Oh, Grounded?
Yeah. All right, man. Let's move on here. Good guy Phil Spencer might not be such a good guy after all.
Uh-oh. What's going on? What's he doing? Did he punch some kid in the face?
Yeah, no, not as egregious, although he is saying that perhaps, Manny, get ready.
Uh-oh.
perhaps a certain thing that you and I aren't fans of isn't that bad for gaming after all. Three letters.
Shut up.
Three letters, our favorite
thing. Don't even say it. I know what it is. Yeah,
but,
you can say it.
But at least he's saying, like, hey, we got to be careful with this NFT stuff, but I think there's potential there. That's what he's saying.
Here's the thing. The only reason why, was this in an interview he said this, by the way?
Yeah, it was an interview.
Oh, with Bloomberg. Yeah, you know, yeah, I'm thinking it's just one of those like non-answers where it's like, it's not that bad. I don't know. You know, in other words, leaving the door open and not totally closing it.
He at least did acknowledge the whole, remember the gold farming from World of Warcraft back in the day? So he talked about that. He's like, yeah, we got to be careful of that type of stuff, you know? But he says he doesn't want to close the door on him completely.
Yeah, it's just like, just another outlet to make money. And it just seems like everybody just sees the money that people, the potential money. It's like a bunch of people trying to play the lottery.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, you know, as well.
The one person who won that, what was that? The $1 billion or some shit not long ago. They're upset.
The lottery winner?
It was pretty big.
I was like, because, you know, I've been into like more personal finance. I found out something very interesting about lottery winners. Apparently, lottery winners are four times more likely to hit bankruptcy than the regular person.
Yes, because...
Which makes sense. Yep. Because think about it. The thing that caused them to play the lottery is probably the thing that keeps them poor. Let's just be real here. You know?
Yes. Well, the thing is that they're blowing all their... They don't think to save any of their money, or, you know, they just think, all right, I'm just going to start blowing this all over the place.
That's exactly what they do.
Yeah. So, yeah, like most people, a lot of people that end up winning the lottery end up being poor.
Not only end up being poor, but end up in bankruptcy like years later, you know?
And by the way, most of the people who win the lottery aren't the $1 billion winners, because that's a lot more money to, you know, even though you're getting like what?
Yeah, well, you...
Yeah, because they get dispersed, right, among the winners and shit.
This person just won the whole deal.
Oh, with the,
but the thing taxes, is that, you know, right? the taxes comes off of it. So, but here's the thing. It's still a good amount of money that you're getting. If you're smart about it, you know, all you need to do is just, if you're getting the lump sum shit, when, you know, some people like to do the million, the billion, the whatever for life. Don't do that shit. Get the lump sum. They take the money out. And just live off the fucking, what do they call it?
Well, you invest that shit and start living off
the interest.
You can literally throw that into a bank and live off the interest.
Make sure it's high yield savings, because you're not even going to get that much off of that. You're better off putting that shit into stocks and just letting it sit there for like a decade or two. You know?
Yeah, in that case, I would just put it off on dividends.
That's what I would do.
Buy a whole bunch of single family homes and just rent them.
Real estate, you know.
Now you don't want to get in real estate.
No, you got to be smart about it. But yeah, that's what I would do personally. If I had like $400,000, put that shit into the stock market and just let it sit for 20 years, you know. Compound interest, man. The eighth wonder of the world, you know. All right.
Behind the roadie run.
Yeah, right. The roadie run.
Welcome to the stock down.
That's it, man. Your boy's going to teach you some shit, you know. All right. Oh, this is interesting. The DualSense Edge controller.
Yeah, that was another announcement at Gamescom.
Yeah, man. So this one looks like their version of the Elite controller. Back paddles, customizable. This looks fucking legit, you know?
So can you actually change the battery out of it?
That's a great question, actually.
That's the first question I want to ask about this shit.
That's a good question.
That is a great question, actually. I don't know. All I know is my dumbass is probably going to buy this thing.
It doesn't it look looks that really different good. from a normal PlayStation controller, though.
Yeah. The back paddle. That thing's a game changer. If you've never experienced that, man, oh, my God. You know? Because you feel like, back paddles and shit. But then you go, because your finger's already back there, you know?
Man, they're already there.
Ultra customizable controls. Ability to save multiple control profiles. Cool. On controller user interface.
Where's that?
A dedicated FN button allows you to easily adjust your setup while staying focused on the in-game action. Cool. Okay, so I guess there's an extra button.
It doesn't seem like paddles. It seems like a...
They're buttons,
like a,
right?
Like a latch.
Very interesting. How that feels. Changeable stick caps and back buttons. Okay, that's standard, you know, for these types of controllers. Replaceable stick modules. Okay, cool.
Yeah, they showed them pulling out, yeah.
Built-in DualSense wireless controller features. What about that battery, you know?
Yeah, but what about that battery, though? Can you turn? Can you pull the stupid lights out of that dumb thing?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Cool. Look, yeah, it's probably going to be like $130 or something. If it's anything like the Xbox Elite, it's around going to be $130, $150, you know?
Yeah, that's what I would think.
I just say that this is like exactly what I said they should have done with the DualShock 4 controller. It said, like, hey, have paddles at the back. Like, that's where the innovation should come from. So it's only two generations late that they actually decided to do it. I mean, the bloody Steam controller has come and gone, and it had two paddles at the back, if I'm not mistaken. No, one paddle. Well, two. One for each side. But yeah.
Hey, Brian, you know what else has back buttons?
It has two back buttons.
Yeah. No, you know what else has it, right?
It has four back buttons.
Oh, yeah, sorry, it has four.
Yeah. Steam Deck. Mm-hmm.
Steam Deck. Yeah, it just seems like it's a bit late to the party, and how well this goes on, I don't know. Again, I'm happy that they finally decided to do it, and they got off the asses and decided to copy someone else and rather than do it their own way, because Sony. So, good. They've arrived to the party, but now do something. You know, like, show us why this is worth it.
I agree. I'm looking at, okay, so there's sliders on the back. That's how you do the different profiles, I'm guessing. Interesting. But no, I'm with you, Brian. Show me
what I do like got. I do like that glossy black front part instead of the matte. That actually looks nice.
Yeah, and it has, like, the PlayStation buttons, like, imprinted on it. Pretty cool on the touchpad. Yeah, give me this shit. I want it. All right.
Give it to me.
And the last thing, Manny, I threw this one here specifically for you.
For me?
Yes.
What?
There's a Gravity Rush movie in development.
Oh.
Meh.
My thing is,
yeah.
I want a fucking game. How about that?
I want a new game. I'd much rather. I saw this thing. It was essentially a live action movie, or they optioned it for a live action movie. It's not going to be good.
Yeah.
I already seen this.
Would you be, I guess, more inclined to care if they did it in the style of the game?
I would be more interested if it was in the style of the game. Kind of like that, the two shorts that they did with the release of Gravity Rush 2. Those were cool. I was fine with that. But what are we going to do? Like, number one, with all the shit that she can do in that game, right? Like throwing stuff around, floating around. Would they even give a budget like that to a game that really didn't do that well?
My thing is, why? So, okay, is it official that this game, that this is a live action thing?
That's what they're saying.
That's stupid. It should be animated.
It should be animated.
Wow.
No, they're already talking. Go ahead. I just
want to mention, Brian, you know, Brian, we had the conversation earlier. Video game stories, you know, I've always sucked, man. Gravity Rush is a great game. That story ain't nothing to fucking sell on a fucking movie.
No, it's not. Like, yeah, like, there's not, like, the bigger plot of Gravity Rush is sort of semi-interesting, but it's not anything to write home about. Like, it's not like this earth-shattering plot that it ever had.
Not only that, but the people don't even talk.
Yeah, they talk like a pseudo-French language. So what are they? They're not going to do that. So... You know what? Like, I don't get, like, it just seems like just PlayStation or, you know, whatever Sony Studios or whatever they call it is essentially just looking to make things into films.
From the director of Secret Society of Second Born Royals. What the fuck is
that? Never heard of that.
Never heard of that shit. It's a Disney Plus show or movie or project. Oh, it's live action.
Yeah, so it's going to be a live action. It's not really, no. It's not going to be any good.
Yeah, I have a bad feeling that the whole thing is just going to be a skin suit, like the Resident Evil TV show.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Brian.
They're just going to take the name of it, take some plot points, and then just write their own nonsense. So, fanfic. There we go.
Yeah.
That's what they all are, man. It's fucking bullshit. I just don't understand why these IPs don't sell. They don't sell in video games. How the hell are they going to sell it on a fucking TV show?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand what the, like, again, I just think it's, they're optioning it or whatever they're doing. But I think, like, out of all their IPs, why Gravity Rush? It's not, again, it's a game that had a sequel, but it didn't, the series doesn't do that well. They barely give it any sort of respect. Now, all of a sudden, now they want to make a fucking movie of it? Now you want to go this? When you fucking fired the director of the, you know, or let go of the whole team? Whatever.
Yeah,
it's non-news.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. All right, man. We're done.
Negaton.
Yeah, Negaton.
Negaton.
Yeah, Nunaton. I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, we're done here, man. None. Oh, Brett shows up.
Whoa.
Holy shit.
Oh.
Hold on. Wait.
No, he's trying to talk, but it sounds like he's
muffled.
Being muffled, yeah.
Hello?
Hey, there you go.
Brett? How you going?
Hey guys, what's up? I got a migraine. I'm sorry I didn't make it.
Don't worry about it, man. Yeah. Well, yeah, you're here for the outro at least. Yeah.
Oh, you guys are still on it? What's up, everybody?
Yeah, yeah. We got a little more to go.
Yeah, well, hey, yeah. And I hope you're doing well, though, man. Aside from that, dude.
I mean, yeah, you could have just skipped out.
I got a call. I saw the call come in. Throw down. I was like, ah, fuck. I'll pop in and say what's up.
There you go, man. Anyway, man, do you have anything to plug?
Yes, there is a Coexist Gaming event that's going to be happening in New York. Coexist Gaming is a gaming space where, you know, you can go and book your time and have a lot of fun, you know, hang out with folks and all kinds of fun stuff like that. And they're officially opening their doors this Saturday. So I'll be on hand to show my support. And they have a bunch of my artwork on their walls, and it's going to be cool stuff. So Coexist Gaming, they are in – let me just get the location. They are in New York. They're at 325 West 38th Street. It's literally off of Times Square, so they got some prime real estate right there. So, yeah, I'll be there, and I'll be giving away some stuff. Apparently, they're going to be running this opening event like till 2 a.m. in the morning. They got all kinds of crazy shit going on there, and it's sponsored by Hot 97. So there you go. That's nice. What's going on in the streets.
You're going to have to give me that address because the one I saw was like the Upper East Side. If it's Times Square, ooh.
No, yeah, it's 325 West 38th Street.
Oh, okay.
I do have a question for you guys.
Oh,
yes.
So this venue, this place, it's just a like kind of like a pseudo arcade, right?
Yeah, it's like an arcade sort of a gaming sort of space and stuff like that. You know, so you know, it's got like all the consoles all set up. So like from everything from like the Nintendo Entertainment System all the way up to Sega Dreamcast and all that sort of stuff. They got a bunch of games there. So it's interesting. All the people over there are really cool. One thing about them is it's a little odd. It's not exactly clear what they are, you know, especially from their website.
I saw when you sent it, Manny.
Yeah. That's my only weird thing. The thing about it, it's like it seems like it's a little difficult to understand fully exactly what it is. But for the most part, it is just it's like a gaming space that you can kind of hang out and book some time. So essentially, like if you go to an arcade and all the arcade machines are all, you know, you, for one amount of money, the all the arcade machines are all free to play and stuff. So you can play pretty much every single game under the sun there. They have like a huge collection of stuff. And I think they also offer some workspaces as well if you want to hang out there.
They don't serve like any drinks or food or anything like that.
I don't know. I haven't actually been there, so we'll find out.
I'm wondering if this place is anything like OSNYC, because that's a similar type of thing where you have like some arcades, you have a streaming thing. It's more OSNYC is more streamer based, right? Mm. A lot of streaming machines, and they do have alcohol. You know,
yeah,
and it's right by the Brooklyn Bridge, Manny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, like literally and right there.
Here's the reason why I asked, because when you said that it's in Times Square, it just doesn't seem like I don't know how that'll fit there, because you know
It's not in Times Square. It's off Times Square. No, it's not sitting like dead set.
You know how there's off Broadway. You know,
yeah, it's like you know, like. West 28th Street is off time, is off Times Square, but it's very close. Like it's a, essentially a few blocks over, and a lot of there's a lot of those built those old, you know, those sort of older buildings there, and it's sort of like that. Got it's in that area.
Yeah. What's the name of it? The building made
Coexist Gaming.
Coexist Gaming. Oh, look at that. Coexist Gaming. Cool lounge. All right. Madame Tussauds. Oh shit, it's like right there. What the fuck?
It's very close to it.
Yeah. You look at this shit.
It's, because that place is littered with tourists.
Oh yeah.
So, I'm curious to see how like a venue like that would work with, you know.
Oh, okay. I know. As a matter of fact, there's this one building I went to around this area that had this dope fucking Central Park. Even though we're that far away, you know. I think it was called Margaritaville.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that place is legit, man. I want to go back there again too. Even though it's weird, you had to take a specific elevator to get up to that floor. Like you could just take a random elevator, you know.
It's a bar, right?
Yeah, it's a bar. Yeah, it's a bar. I went drinking there with because one of our colleagues from England, because you know, like half the team is from UK, so she was visiting. So we took her to drinks. Boy. Good times. Very sweet girl. Nice. You know. Nice. All right, man. So that is that for Throwdown. So make sure you follow us on Twitch and Twitter. Join the Discord where the conversations are always popping, especially today. Today was crazy. That PlayStation news, you know. Throwdown, we are on every podcast app on the planet. Throwdown Show towards Throwdown Show. Throwdownshow.com to listen to previous episodes. And if you've been watching us on YouTube and you enjoyed the content, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and be notified of when our premieres go live. Links are located down below. Once again, I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Carlos Romero.
Make sure to tune in to I Am Negan if you're interested in Tales of the Walking Dead or Walking Dead proper pretty soon. I Am Negan on thecoalition.com, The Coalition on YouTube, Coalition with a K, or I Am Negan on all your podcasting places, including Spotify. I Am Negan, Walking Dead.
You're with show for life. You know, a always welcome Mr. Brett Murdoch.
Wasn't expecting an outro. What's up?
Bye, people. There you go. And Brian Manjoma.
Go play Stray. It's actually really worth your time.
Yeah. Be a cat.
Be a cat. Play cat the game.
Yeah. All right, people. We'll see you Sunday. Later.
Peace.
Later.